Welcome to the Off the Road Again podcast. I'm Ross.
And I'm Sam.
Come closer to the mic. You're very far away from the mic. This is going to be a bit of a different show. Chris is sick with the sick. I'm obviously Ross, and this is my wife, Sam. She has been mentioned on the show countless times, and this is her first actual appearance.
It's pretty crazy it's taken this long to get the invite, but
yeah.
Better late than never.
Better late than never. And there will be plenty of other times before never. I think you did appear at one point on a show with Dan Grack, or probably maybe pre-recording with Gracky.
I definitely thought it was pre-recording. I don't know if that's totally accurate, but if I did interrupt it, it wasn't my intention.
That's okay.
That was a really long time ago. I think we were talking about COVID vaccines.
We were.
He was talking about the rollout. Yeah.
The rollout in Australia, and yeah. We were recording from our daughter's what is now our daughter's playroom, which at the time was my office. Mm. So I'll roll out with the normal Chris-isms, and this is the podcast about everything and anything off-road, and again, a slightly different show, and thank you to everybody for joining us in 2024. We're recording this on December 28th of 2023, and it's been a crazy year, and we'll soon approach 200 episodes.
Wow.
Wow. 200, yeah, and then that means 250 is coming up soon, and that means, you know, we got to do something big for 250, which means Chris and I might actually meet in person.
I think it's time that Chris and Ross are in the same place at the same time, for reals.
The question there is, do I and we go to Kansas City to visit Chris, or does Chris take his family and his wife, who's from the area that we are living in, and come here?
I would argue it would probably be easier for us to pack up our one small child and bring her places.
But we have had people say that for 200 and absolutely for 250, we should do an event, like find an off-road park, rent out the camping space, and, you know, kind of have our celebration.
Like
it
sounds like a good plan. Maybe one that me and the little one stay home for, but it sounds like a great plan.
Sam's like, that sounds like that's awesome. That is going to be the Off the Road Again Mecca with just you going.
Yeah, I feel like until she's old enough to actually do the off-roading, I think maybe we'll just hang here, and then once she's good to go, you guys can have a good time.
She might be like 2.5 for 250. So,
all right. Well,
I've got to ask my dad how old I was when he started taking me off-road.
I mean, probably too young, like an age that is no longer acceptable in terms of safety.
Well, I mean,
though,
I was in the backseat.
Have you yet shared with Chris that you put her on a quad?
I have not told Chris that. The quad was stationary. There is no.
But nonetheless, she grab the handles and say, vroom.
Yeah.
So I think she gets the concept.
She gets the concept, but she's still rear facing. So
yeah, I think we have to at least be front facing.
She's got to be front facing before she's like really into the, you know, truck off-roading stuff. But yeah, this is going to be a slightly different show from our normal shenanigans, and instead of off-road stuff, we are going to talk about on-road stuff, because
or off-road stuff. So I now have many years of off-road experience. Lots of on-road experience, but lots of experience in cars made for off-roading.
Lots of experience in regularly changing vehicles when the normal public would not subject
their certainly cars themselves. That are like equipped with all sorts of stuff to like be everywhere and anywhere, but I have a ton of experience in them And because they show up and rotate so regularly, I think I'm pretty good at comparing them and noticing differences in them.
I agree with that. But in all fairness, I will say that most of the press cars that come through this household are cars or crossovers or, you know, they're street vehicles. Very infrequently is it that the vehicles here are dedicated, deliberate.
All right. So off-roaders. I've put my butt in a lot of cars. Is what I'm saying.
You as a hot mom of a child and
also just before that too.
Also, honestly, before press cars came through this house, I just was a, you know, masochist in buying and selling cars with unfortunate frequency.
Yeah. But Ross has owned a car more than a car for every year that we've been together. So I'm definitely well versed in the constant rotation of cars. But anyway, back to my expertise here.
Yeah. So Sam's expertise.
My best skill and the way that I judge all the cars is how easily I can fall asleep in them. And for context, I am an excellent sleeper. Yeah. And thankfully, our daughter has gotten my sleep genes.
Isn't backseat driver. This is front passenger. I'm helping you look for things. Oh, by the way, I'm going to
sleep. Oh, I don't even ever pretend I'm looking for anything. I'm going to sleep.
Not anymore.
Yeah, no, maybe in the early days I pretended, but...
In the early days when I had a Challenger and we would mob to places, I would say, I need you to help me. The best thing you should look for is the inside of your eyelids.
Yeah, no. So,
we've been together for a few years.
I have a very, I'm a great judge of how well you can fall asleep in a car.
You have a proclivity for falling asleep in moving vehicles. I have been saying
for years now that that's what the people want, is they want to know what car can their significant other fall asleep well in. So I'm here with that information that I'm sure everyone's been waiting for 200 episodes.
The origin of this story is that once upon a time I had an Avalanche. We've talked about this Avalanche.
Wait, let's get into my list. Well, before you start talking about cars, how do you know that's not on my list?
I don't. But
so I think.
Let me just set the stage here. I had an Avalanche. Sam loved to sleep in it. Then I had subsequent cars, the Challenger she loved to sleep in. Then I had WRX. She did not love to sleep in it. And there were other 4Runners and now the GX and plenty of other vehicles in between. Other 4Runners, Miatas, and there were a lot of cars between now and then. So we've been joking for a long time that it would be funny to discuss the napability score. So on this show, we are going to go into two things. We're going to go into vehicles with high napability scores, which if you've ever seen Succession, there are, you know, for people of a certain tax bracket, cars of a high napability score. But we want to talk about the cars that are of high napability for people that aren't in that tax bracket. And then, you know, we have this small living, breathing being that runs around our house that we like to put in cars and take places. So we're going to talk about car seat stuff. But first, the napability, because everybody knows that as a passenger or as a second row passenger, there is a huge variance in how comfortable a car can be when it comes to falling asleep, whether it is a, you know, an exhausted parent or a hangover, or just you're going to do an off-road adventure and riding shotgun in something and you find yourself nodding off because you've had a long day or a week or a month or a year. So we wanted to talk about this because Sam is the pro of pros when it comes to this topic. So we decided we would put together a list, a three car list. So
I have my top three. And then I have an honorable mention. And I even have, if you want it, like one that was like such a disappointment. Like really thought I was getting something good and was really sad about it.
Let's do the honorable mention.
Okay, so the honorable mention goes to the Avalanche.
The Chevy Avalanche. The 2005 Chevy Avalanche.
So, for context, Ross and I met in college in a really small town.
Undergrad.
In upstate New York.
12.
And we lived on streets that were parallel to each other, but we didn't know that.
6,000 person town in the school that we went to.
And so, I walked past this giant avalanche. Like,
it wasn't giant.
For a few months. It is. And I grew up.
2-inch leveling kit. It was normal height.
I grew up on Staten Island where it was much more urban. A car like that just, I mean, years later, I saw that car parked on my parents' street. It didn't fit.
Nope.
But I would always walk past this car. It fit so poorly that somebody
put a screwdriver through a tire. Yeah.
I had a Nissan Sentra for context. And one of the first nights that Ross walked me home from one of the bars in our college town, he said, I have to get something out of my car. And he beeped this huge fucking truck. I don't know. A jacket. Probably knowing you, probably more contact solution, but he beeped this car and I was like, this is your fucking car. And I got on the bed and I was like, who needs a car this big? What do you do for a living? Are you a farmer? And now
says the Staten Island girl. Yeah.
And now when I see what's in my driveway on a regular basis, it's but no, so
the avalanche,
I remember being in the avalanche. And it was the first car I'd ever been in that I could sit in the front and I could sit cross-legged and there was enough room. Couch. And that's why I'm sitting right now. And that's like my preferred way to sit. And I could sit that way and fall asleep like that. Yeah. It was like being on a recliner. Which, it was like mind-boggling to me that that could be your car.
Says something about the exhaust I had on it at the time.
Well, yeah, that was a whole other situation.
There was a time when you would not... What's it called when a dude is allowed to sit? With their like legs spread,
they're never allowed to sit that way. No, they just think they are.
Okay,
man spread.
What's man spread? Yes. The 2000s era of trucks is made for that.
Yeah,
and the Avalanche, 2005 Avalanche that my father owned,
why somebody put a screwdriver through your tire because they were sick of that on their street.
If
just saying.
Then they should.
I'm not saying it's right to ever put a screwdriver through somebody's tire.
Conversation with
but
me.
But it was pretty fucking loud.
Yeah, but it was loud, but I also used it to the deepest degree of what I could use it for.
What does that mean?
Like, it wasn't just like, oh, I had a truck for a truck. Like.
Okay. But you had a loud exhaust to have a loud exhaust.
No. I had a loud exhaust at one point because the exhaust rusted and fell off. Okay. Yeah. It literally.
All right. So that's my honorable mention. My top three are in no specific order. When we talked about this all of an hour ago, these are the three cars that immediately came into my mind. That I was also like, oh, exhaust, wow, that car was so comfortable.
The laugh of this story, to go back, is that the exhaust fell off of that Avalanche. When we left the town of New Paltz the day after we grad, not after we grad, like we graduated.
You know why?
Why?
You were too old to have that shit on your car anymore.
No, it was just.
It was like, is this the look you want to have as a young adult? No.
It was just like.
Daughter would say, no.
No. Okay, what are your top three? Hit us.
Okay.
Napability scores. In no certain order.
Denali.
The Yukon Denali?
Yes.
Okay.
That car was genuinely a car that I felt like even my feet on the floor, no matter pothole, bump, anything, it was so smooth. It had huge seats. It was like, we took that on a road trip. That was so comfortable. And we went to IKEA after we made the most of that car. But
IKEA in Jersey.
Yeah.
And that I will attest to that because that was the Yukon Denali with, I think it had MagnaRide and air suspension. More importantly, it had the 3-liter baby Duramax diesel, which got 27 miles per gallon in a 6,000 pound truck.
Yeah.
And the beauty of that diesel is that it shuts up. It is silent on the highway.
Yeah, it was such a nice car to drive in. And that was a car that, like, after that, we were like, well, if we get pregnant with twins next time, I guess we would just have to buy one of those.
It was like, oh, if they're for some reason are triplets, like, we're getting,
we'd have to get
gonna one. Just have to buy a Duramax.
Yeah,
we wouldn't buy
super comfortable, so quiet, yeah, so nice.
We wouldn't buy a Denali, but we'd buy like that engine in a Z71 Tahoe.
Yeah,
that was great. That was okay. That is,
yeah. Okay, what's one on your list?
One on my list is the Suburban that we took to Hudson recently.
Oh, yeah, that was really nice.
Which was on the list.
That was really nice.
You know what?
It wasn't on my list, but it was really nice.
Same engine.
I did sleep in it.
Same engine, same frame, just a little bit shorter.
Yeah.
Actually, no, a little bit longer because that's Suburban. But, so, yeah, but that's the same engine.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Do you want to know?
Do you want to give us one of yours?
Those were two of my... nap list.
The Suburban and the...
And the Yukon,
wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Second, this is such an exciting off-road vehicle, but for the nap ability, can't be beat. That Kia Carnival, man. That car...
That was great.
We took that car on a road trip when our daughter was like barely 3 months. Obviously super easy for the car seat.
No, she was probably 6 months. We went...
were on... Yes. Okay.
We took the Kia Carnival... Which is Kia's
minivan, which sounds so lame actual to minivan. Say, but...
But it looks like an SUV. They styled it like the Telluride. It looks awesome.
Yeah.
If it had all-wheel drive like Toyota has in the Sienna, they would sell a metric fuck ton of them.
Yeah. So basically, for those of you who don't know, the main spoiler of that car is that in the... middle row, not only is it captain chairs, it's reclining captain chairs. So literally there was a time that daughter was asleep in her car seat and I was next to her in the back, fully reclined, sleeping.
Yeah. So
it's great.
The middle and upper tier trims of the Carnival.
Well, yes, I'm sure. Yeah.
They emulated
unsurprisingly
first class airplane recliners. So if you sit in the second row in the Carnival, it does the full,
like truly feet up, relaxing on a lazy boy. Like, it was so
enough
nice.
Room that you can effectively, it's a basically a bed.
Yeah. And you know, as a parent, especially for a really young kid, sometimes the only times you maybe have a minute to yourself is when you're in the car and they're asleep. So to actually be able to like put my feet up and legit go to sleep was so nice.
Unfortunately for Sam, we drove the Carnival home through such a bad snowstorm that it dictated us leaving the place that we took it to.
Yeah.
And it basically mobbed home across literally all of Connecticut. We were in Rhode Island. But yeah, great, great second row seats.
Yeah. So even despite that terrible car ride home, that still really sticks out to me as a really great car for napping.
I maintain if they had all wheel drive in those things, they would sell so many of them.
Yeah.
It
would have been great on the way home too, if it had a little more traction.
Well, you spent most of the ride home consoling our daughter, even though there's nothing really to console her.
No, she was just in the car seat through a nap and not a nap.
She was small babying. great car to drive through an effective blizzard, though. Gotta say.
Yeah.
Like, it got us home. It was on all-season tires. I peed behind it in the Starbucks parking lot. That was so sketchy that I didn't even go in to get a coffee. that was on my list also for the car seat discussion.
Yeah,
too.
That was really good for the car seat.
Yeah.
So okay, so my
go ahead.
My next napping car, the one that to me is not like we have triplets,
this
it's
is
just
the,
like
this is the last one.
We're
this
real rich.
This is
and you say, which car do you want to buy? Granted, I don't know the full name of this car, so you're gonna have to tell me. But it was the Mercedes. My best Valtteri Bottas voice with the massaging seats.
Ooh, the GLS 63W4.
Yeah.
The huge one with the monoblock wheels. Yeah. I apologize for anybody that's not watching, but that is watching and not listening. Yeah.
It was so good. And also, unfair advantage for this car. We had this car when I was like 37 weeks pregnant, and the massaging seats were just...
We're talking about different cars.
Oh, no. We've had two with massaging seats. That's a problem.
Tell more stories. Okay. I'm going to Google Sheets. So,
it was basically just a
super race. I know which one. Yeah. No, we did have a Mercedes.
Okay, I thought it wasn't a Mercedes.
Yeah, no. It wasn't a Mercedes. We had a Mercedes, and I think we've talked about this on the show, but there was a Mercedes here that we took to the doctor appointment when the doctor was like, you need to go get admitted right now because your baby is coming. Is it the same one?
That car? Okay, also, Ross had a different press car every week of my third trimester and fourth trimester, for those familiar with that term, that, like, it was very confusing. There was a lot of things happening. But regardless, I'd say any of the Mercedes with the massaging seats are pretty hard to beat.
The GLE 53 Coupe we had, that's the one that we took that we were like, oh yeah, this is a great car.
Yeah.
By the way, y'all need to get the doctor.
Yeah. Like, last. Yeah, maybe that's why it has a special place in my heart.
Yeah, because
too.
The next car that I have on my press car list is the...
Okay.
We're going to probably wrap this up soon, but the next one is the M5 that I took in my cousin's wedding.
Yeah.
Car seats. So let's talk car seats quick because we are... how many minutes have we done? How do I tell?
17. Can I give you my disappointment, though?
Disappointment in
the car that I was like, oh my God. Nappability, yeah. But kind of everything.
Okay, good.
So for anyone else listening who like is our age, maybe if you're also a female or not, but especially if you loved like that early 2000s reality TV like I do and did.
She's saying if you grew
saw
up
that car.
If you grew up with like the Paris Hilton.
I'm talking about Lauren Conrad. That's my girl. Paris, we're a little young for.
Oh my God.
How
could I possibly?
We had a G-Wagon and I was so hyped and felt like such a badass bitch. And we took our like 3 week old to the pediatrician in it. And it was so cool looking and everything else about it sucked.
It
was so underwhelming and just like not, that was like sitting in the back seat for that all the time we had that car because Daisy was so little.
Our baby
was
very
so
small.
Uncomfortable.
It
did look really cool, but it was really uncomfortable.
The caveat is that we had a doona, so anybody that's listening that has car seat or stroller knowledge knows that a doona is the car seat and a stroller in two, in one. It's two in
so
one.
So typically you have to like take the carrier off and you have a stroller under it, it's put in the back. This is one that the wheels just collapse in, so the wheels are attached, which is so nice because you have your stroller everywhere.
It's amazing. It's the only one that
when
does
you go
that.
To put it into a car because it has wheels, it's
enormous,
much bigger. The wheels are touching the passenger seat effectively.
Yeah, figure
if it's not a big enough car,
8 inches longer, maybe 6 inches longer than most normal car
seats.
Yeah,
we love the doona. Would recommend it to everyone.
100% recommend.
But like it made, I have a CX-5, is my regular person car.
Second,
I press cars
second
every week.
CX-5.
Yeah, and second CX-5, love it.
Maintained.
However,
through all of the press cars we've had, all the cars that I've had, because I'm a psychopath, the CX-5 is still fucking awesome.
Yeah.
It is.
Which is why we still have it. But
I still genuinely enjoy driving
to put
those cars.
The doona in it, we were shocked by how tight it is to get the doona in.
Which is remarkable because most car seat reviewers say the CX-5 has plentiful room.
Yeah.
So this is we're talking about the factor of the doona itself in saying the G-Wagon
That's a Chris question. I don't know.
No, it's a, I should just fucking Google Sheets it. Because I have this on Google Sheets. It is called the Mercedes G63 AMG. That's it. Okay, I thought there were more things to it than that. But yeah, it was great to drive, mm-hmm. great to be in, great to close the door. Closing doors is euphoric.
Yeah.
But if you have a larger than average car seat, you will have a bad time.
But also, if you actually want a comfortable car and you're spending that much money, I can say now from personal experience, there are way better ways to spend your money. The car looks amazing. And if you want to feel like the Christian Cavallari of it all, that's your car. But if not, it's just not very comfortable.
You mean there are better ways to spend $172,000?
Yeah, I could probably think of
for $172,000, I would get. Oh God, this is Jesus! I don't even
a Porsche
for a daily for if one car
to rule them all. All? No,
yeah. One car to rule them all. Yeah, a Cayenne Turbo S for $172,000. Yeah, but nobody is. Nobody plays that game, and if you want a G-Wagon, you just buy a G-Wagon.
Yeah, they are beautiful, but I was just so excited about it, and I was like, I'm so uncomfortable back here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even at that point, I could have napped anywhere from just lack of sleep, and it was not very easy to nap in.
It also cost effectively 40% of our house.
Yeah, it's a little ridiculous.
So... Yeah.
Well, we can't afford one anyway, so I guess that's really a non-issue. No.
We can. It just is a 2002, and it needs $4,000.
Well, then I could really live out my reality show dreams. $4,000
of
I'd have the same
deferred,
model.
Deferred maintenance. Yeah. So, what else? What vehicles have come through this house that have surprised you?
Surprised for the better or for the worse?
Both?
I'm always surprised by how much WRXs suck.
I will preface whatever. This by saying I had the first 2017 that was delivered in the state of Connecticut, which was the first VA model year after they, you know, it was the second model year of the VA, so they had time to unfuck things, and there's a chance that the seats and ride quality might have contributed somewhat significantly to my needing back surgery. So
yeah, of all of the cars that Ross had through my third trimester, the WRX that you had,
VB,
was the only one that we got like two blocks from our house, and I was like, I can't do the whole ride in this car.
But
I was just too uncomfortable. Granted, one of the weeks, literally, I think the last press car you had before the one that ends up being to the hospital was a Miata. And I was perfectly fine in it.
It was either a Miata or a C8
Corvette. Like, I was completely fine, got in and out, no issues. Hold on. And I was like, we have to go home. I can't be in the car for this long. I'd say
the second to last car that we had before you went to the hospital to birth our child was a car that you were in more times than the number of times you were in the WRX. And that car was the Mazda Miata.
Ross's favorite.
That
was a great car.
Don't talk.
No, like, the Miata was so fun. And that was the car we had during COVID that we would just take on like little getaways for sanity. And it was just the two of us. But, no, I love the Miata. It was great.
Yep, no, the different Miatas.
No, I know, but I'm saying the Miata in general holds a special place in your heart.
I think if there was a car that I was going to buy, if I was ever to put my foot down and be that guy and just be like, I'm ordering a car. It's going to be the car that I have forever.
I could tell you how many times Ross has told me, I'm going to have this car forever.
No, but if I was going to be like, this is my, I'm turning 40. I'm going to order a new car and then buy that car and have it forever. Mm-hmm. If I told you it was a Miata, mm-hmm. you wouldn't be surprised.
No.
Like, there's no, like, the, it's just happy. Mm-hmm. It's,
I would say, like, where are kids going to go, but we'll deal with that when you turn 40, I guess.
Turn 40. How old will she be? Oh, no, we just talked about this. Yeah,
she's still going to be in a booster. She's got a while. We did just talk about it. I've been very continually impressed by how nice the Kias are.
The Kias do tend to...
The Telluride, the Carnival we talked about, the Stinger, all of them that we've had. That
Stinger's very good.
Yeah, that I'm usually like, oh, Kia, they're actually super nice.
You were skeptical with the EV6, though. The electric...
I don't love
electric
that
one. Do you not...
The electric ones, I just feel like I'm in a spaceship, and it's like an uncomfortable spaceship.
Is that the styling and the design?
The styling inside is so minimalistic that I feel like I'm on a folding chair. Like, it's very strange. I don't really care for it. I feel like I'm on a folding chair. This is the first time in my whole life I think anyone's ever told me to talk louder. I work with people with hearing impairment for a living. Like, no one has ever told me.
It's probably the first thing I've ever told you to talk louder.
Exactly. But yeah. So the Kias are always nice.
It's interesting that you thought that of the EV6 because we test drove the Mach-E probably 6 months prior.
And I really liked that.
And you really liked it.
Yeah.
And that has less buttons.
It's not the buttons. No, I think it's the seats.
Okay.
The seats and like the center console.
Those are not tunes. We had the EV6 GT. It has manual seats because it is the fast one.
No, but I'm saying not like that it didn't have buttons to adjust. Just like the actual seat in terms of like its ergonomics.
The fast one has sports seats.
Okay, well, then I don't like the sports seats.
You don't, we would never.
Oh, you know what other one was really, I feel like I'm just like ragging on cars
fucking
here. But
get after it.
That really, really tacky Corvette we had.
The first, oh, the first C8?
The way that racing seats are, like, I'm not a big person. No, I had to sit like
it had the comp seats
forward.
Yeah,
I was like, I don't really understand how this is comfortable for an extended period.
I consider myself a moderate, medium sized human, especially as far as Corvette owners go. I'm tiny, and we've talked about this, and Kirsten and I've talked about this. And like other people on the show have talked about this, but that Corvette, the first C8 Corvette that I had as a press car, was spec'd to the nth degree of so like tacky. Wannabe old man.
Oh my
car
god! Spec. We lived in a condo at that point where we had like communal parking, and I remember Ross like tried to always get the same spot for his press cars, and I remember coming home from work
my own cars
and seeing this car until... and being like.
Yeah, it was silver.
And then Ross was like, let me show it to you, and came out, and I was like, I don't even want anyone to see me getting into
it. It was silver with
so flashy
red and black
stripe
down the middle and basically a tram stamp.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, like
insanely fast.
I owned a C6 Corvette and going from given at the time that the C8 showed up, I did own NC Miata, which still my favorite of all the cars that I've owned.
I know.
And, but God, that Corvette was ugly, and God, was it fast.
Well, I'm going to take a minute to actually say a car that I do really love that I was surprised by is your GX.
Lexus?
I really like it.
Yeah.
And I actually really like driving it.
Yeah.
Which is not something I often say, but I actually really like when I take that car. If it's like bad weather or something and truck. I take that car.
It's body on frame. It is a truck.
Truck.
We'll call it a truck.
And I really like it. And I love the looks people give me when I get out of it. I love driving that to work and parking and like someone seeing me like hop out of that. And they're like, what the? And that's an added bonus. But I do really like it. And I find it really comfortable. Backseat's not super comfortable, I have to say.
The backseat.
But.
As we have found is. An enormous differentiator between the body-on-frame trucks and crossovers that we have spent time with.
For sure.
Like, the Telluride with a car seat, easy as hell.
Well, even, I don't know if a 4Runner, which one of those that is, but a 4Runner is way more comfortable.
4Runner is the same truck as the GX.
Then why is it so much more comfortable? Maybe because the yours is a bench in the back and the Forerunner was captain seat.
Which Forerunner?
Well, that's the problem. Which Forerunner?
Which Forerunner? About?
They I've all owned, just blend together.
I've owned three of them. And
I liked Chris's Forerunner.
That was a 2005.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Maybe the honest truth, though, is that before we had a kid, I never really sat in the back seat. I remember sitting in the back seat in the GX in super early days and being like postpartum and being like, this is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just that. But I do really like that car. That truck. Excuse me.
Excuse you. It's a good truck.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we say goodbye to it, then I think that's one that will always...
I don't know. I think she's an icon. It'd be hard to get rid of her. People in our neighborhood know her.
Oh my god. People in our neighborhood actually, like, know who we are because of
They
Alexis.
Know. They're like, I took our daughter to this, like, Thanksgiving morning community Jesus. Thing. And people are like, oh, where do you live? You know, and, like, I'm explaining it. And they're like, oh, are you the one with the black truck? Like, oh, do you sell cars? Do you, like, everyone knows our house is, like, either because of the truck or because Fresh of the containers.
Yeah, the Lexus is a good truck. This is the fourth truck on the same frame that we've owned.
Yeah, I think you maybe have a type.
Three Forerunners, Miata. GX, two Miatas. I maintain.
I think that's your type.
Forerunners and Miatas. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I got a type. I think that's probably a good place for us to call this. I will defend those to the end of life, though.
I would never question it.
The Forerunner is comfortable, capable, endlessly reliable, possibly a little bit soulless because it is all of those, but also that makes it soulful because you can do everything with it and it won't care, it won't die. Like, you'll take all these adventures and that's it. And you can say the same thing about the Miatas.
Yeah.
And I have more memories driving the white Miata with the roof down in, like, 20 degree weather with the heat blasting than most people have with all of the cars they've ever owned. Yeah, I know. It's so silly, like, talking about this stuff because most people don't have car memories, you know.
Yeah, but I think probably I would guess other people who tune into you and Chris probably feel similarly.
But that said, one of the greatest, most exciting and coolest things I've ever seen in my life was driving home from Jersey City on the 4th of July, the roof down in the Miata. We went up through New York City and then up along 95 through, like, Stanford.
Yeah.
And the entire drive from Jersey City through New York City with the roof down the whole way.
Yeah.
We watched fireworks, city fireworks, personal fireworks.
And something fireworks. That was particularly unique, I think, about that is that was July 4th, 2020. So there was no traffic because you that weren't too. Allowed to watch the fireworks.
We were the
anywhere.
Only
you weren't allowed to gather.
Car on the road.
Right. There were, people weren't going to things.
Yeah.
So it was sort of just like an open road, which is a rarity alone in New York City.
Amazing.
Yeah. That was really cool. I'll always remember that.
I will never. That is as far as my.
Yeah. Taking the Miata place has made getting there the adventure.
Right.
And especially, again, during a time that, like, our adventures were, you know, we'd go to see your parents and stay outside in the driveway kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely made things more of an adventure.
We'd hand beers off by getting within 10 feet and then throwing them to each other.
Yeah.
But the fact that the cars that we choose make those experiences possible is why we choose those cars.
Yeah.
Because it's not a Jeep and you don't have to spend time unfucking it. Mm. So, anyways. Thank you for joining and listening to a very different version of the Off the Road Again podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. It's nice to be on this side of the wall while you
record. The fourth wall.
I've broken the fourth wall.
You've
I'm finally there.
Oh my god.
Oh wow.
Gosh.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, thank you to everyone for joining us in the start of 2024. This is, we are recording in the future.
In the future.
So yeah. And thank you to Chris and mostly Chris for making this happen.
Yeah.
So
hope Chris is feeling better by the time he listens.
I hope Chris is feeling better. And I hope that Chris and the Tracys drag Sarah back to her home and we can actually spend time with them here.
Yeah. Or we'll get out there, but we'll definitely need to hang out for sure.
We do. So, all right.
Thank you. All right. I don't know.